So make me an offering. Make me a vessel. Make me whatever you want me to be. So today's message actually started yesterday morning. I've been preparing what I had heard for weeks. And then yesterday morning in worship, I heard this song. When I got to that third one, make me whatever you want me to be. I just stopped. And I realized, I don't think I'm there right now. Like I've been, there's places in my life that I'm not so sure I really, actually I knew I wasn't willing to let him make me whatever he wanted me to be. And I just, it was sweet, it was holy, but it was also uncomfortable because I realized, just wow, like there's things that have happened in my life that maybe kept me from being willing to just let him do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. And so yesterday morning kind of birthed tonight's message is living a life laid down. And so it's been a great, almost 48 hours just reading, searching, reviewing, finding, discovering, and getting back to that posture of being willing to let him do whatever he wants to do. And so tonight's message, we're going to dig into what it means to live a life laid down. And where is that in Scripture? And do we have an example? Do we have any instructions? Do we have any guidelines for that? And how can we know we're living a life laid out? So with that, if you would just join me in prayer, asking the Lord to move and speak and guide our time as we draw closer to him. Holy Father, beautiful Jesus, amazing Holy Spirit, we want you. We come on it just humbly but boldly because... but we know you have the answers, you have the way, you have all that we need, and who we are completely is in you. And so we just ask you to come and move, speak, that only you can speak to each one of us uniquely, individually, yet collectively, as a body, we want to live closer to you, and as you would have us to live. We praise you and love you and thank you for your presence.
Yes.
It's in Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, is there some scriptures, if anyone would be willing to share some?
Sure.
I heard a sure. So, Josh, would you like to... when the time comes, I'll have you do John 10, 11 through 18. And then John 14, 15. And then add to that 20 through 23. So it's just the one verse, the 15. And then 20 to 23. Anybody else? Call David first. Would you be willing to do John 15, chapter 15, 9 through 17.
Okay.
That's a Holly. Would you be willing to do 1 John, chapter 3, 10 through 11, mm-hmm. and then 14 through 24?
It's all here. I can help.
Really? Cricket, would you be willing to do 1 John 4, 19 through 21? And then, Brian, you could do 1 John 5, 1 through 5. And so, first we're going to look at, what does it mean to have a life laid down your life? And where is that in the Word? And do we have like instruction and examples of that in the Word of God. So we're going to read the scripture, and I'm going to also just give some commentary. So Josh, would you start with John 10?
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father.
And then Karen.
Okay. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Jesus talking there. And then verse 20 it says, So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father, and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love you are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love him and return and will reveal myself to him. Then one of his disciples named Judas said, Lord, why is it that you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and you can make our dwelling place.
And David,
as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, but the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
By this it is made clear to them who take their nature from God and who are his children, and who take their nature from the devil and who are his children. No one who does not practice righteousness, who does not conform to God's will and purpose and thought and action, is of God.
Can I read that in NIV?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that there was a book as a amplified on that one. So, oops, if you get it in the fake bit inside the work chair. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. Let's get started. The 10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We know we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know what? That no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
If someone says, we love each other. We love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, that hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people, we can see. How can we love God when we cannot see? And he hath given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah is God's spiritual child and has been fathered by God himself. And everyone who loves Father God loves his children as well. This is how we can be sure that we love the children of God, by having a passionate love for God and by obedience to his commands. True love for God means obeying his commands, and his commands don't weigh us down as heavy burdens. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors, defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
So I know that was a ton of scripture, but that's kind of cool, because if you're digging all over, you can see
that Jesus is, the Word of God is very specific about the example of how we love, the way he loved. And so what was the command? It was in two different places we mentioned it. But what was the command of how to love others? Anybody recognize where it came up? Like, how did he do it? What did he do? Right. So what does he tell us to do? There's a couple places. Is that
in Ireland?
Which, yeah, I do like. And so, so what does that mean? Like, really? I mean, like, so we think about how Jesus laid his life down. He absolutely went and laid his life down, all the way to the cross, all the way to the tomb. Correct? And so, that's like at the end, right? Like, so we think of laying the life down as like the actual death, right? Which is huge. I'm not negating that. But this whole life is about laying down this life. Mm-hmm. And when we think about how he loved us, like it says specifically in here, to love your brothers and sisters the way he loved us. And then he instructs us to lay our life down for our brothers and sisters. And so when I was just looking through that, like even there's tons of commentaries and all sorts of wonderful scripture you can read through. And, but one of them was really interesting, which Josh would probably know this, but and some of you know this also, I'm sure, but you know, when Jesus was crucified, the way the crucifixion really creates the death part is through asphyxiation, right? So the lungs fill up with there's like a chemical reaction, and through asphyxiation there's like a chemical reaction where there's like blood and water fills up the lungs and then asphyxiate. And so, and I've heard of that. I haven't read it in detail. But when you go into the word of it, there's a point in there where the Jews said, hey, there's a Sabbath day coming. We want to go in and break their legs. Well, how they stay alive, because people in crucified could stay alive for days. And how they stay alive is pulling themselves up and pushing themselves up by the feet. But the Jews are like, hey, we can't have these folks up on the cross on the Sabbath. We need to quicken this along. And so they asked if they could break the shins of the folks that were on the cross so they would die quicker, and then when they could, you know, remove the bodies. So if you look, and so I missed that detail, not understanding the gravity of it. The gravity of it was, they know how long it typically takes for someone to actually die on the cross, and they wanted to hurry it along, and so they would make the asphyxia, so they couldn't push themselves up to take a breath, and they would die quicker. So scripture says they broke the legs of the first one, broke the legs of the second one, and then they went to Jesus, and he already had passed. And then it says they pierced his side. What they pierced was the lungs. And then all the blood and water came out, like, okay, clearly this person has already passed. And the witnesses, they even put that in scripture, but the witness account, it is true, this is what they saw, this happened. They even, like, emphasized that. Because the guards said, this is what happened. Because they knew. They knew that Jesus didn't even use his feet to push up, to stay alive. Like, he chose willingly to purposely to give his life for us. And so we talk about, and that just rocked my, like, paradigm in so many ways, because, like, even at that point, it's like, nope, this is what I'm choosing. I've decided this. I'm doing this because I love them, and I want to do this. This is my decision. Like, the love in him is how he sacrificed his life for us, even though it was horrific and difficult. And so when I started thinking about, laying our lives down, or laying my life down, and then what does that look like? What does the word tell us? It's loving one another enough to care for one another. There's a place that one of them actually, two of the scriptures in here that we looked at gives specific examples of how to love the other person. Can you remember what they are?
Yeah, on mine was he loved first. He loved us first. And for me, when I caught that, I had to get out of my comfort zone and say, hi, I'm Cricket Clerk, because it's not comfortable. But he loved me first enough. And that's how I met my best friend. It's like, I'm like, I really don't know this friend. I'm not comfortable with that. And I made the best friend of my life by just going, hi, I'm Cricket McClure. I've noticed you have amazing kids, and they must have had a great mom, and we're still great friends. But he loved first. And that was such a great example to me to, keep it up and be uncomfortable and go love somebody.
Exactly.
I was going to say, love has so many different expressions. Sometimes we think it's like, not the churchy ways. Like, the fact that I am letting you in my home tonight and using my home and giving up this evening in my home to have a thing, that is laying down our life right there. Mm-hmm. That's laying down our life. Every week, that's laying down your life. When God gets you out of the middle of the night and you have someone in your heart, only God could make a person give up sleep to get out of bed to pray for another person. It's the love of God compelling you to lay your life down. Do you understand? And then there's this great reward that comes with that. One of my favorite things about being moved on to pray for people is that when God does that with me, I know how selfish I am. And I know how much power God had to expel to just get me to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then I become so aware of God's love for people that he would move on someone as selfish as me to pray for that person. Then I'm just overwhelmed at how God just loves everyone. Do you understand? Because I see that love in expression because he's making me die and give up. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it just, and I know that somewhere in the world there's someone he makes get out of bed and pray for me. Do you know what I'm saying? Then you see that love demonstrated when you lay your life down.
Amen. I like if you go, I don't remember which one. I think in, well, it's one of the verses that we just looked at. I'll put it that way. When he talks about my command, if you obey my command and you stay in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands, plural, and I stayed in his love. And so I'm kind of a bottom line person in many ways, and I like things to be efficient. I'm like, oh, awesome. One command. Kind of like that. You know, a little simple. You know, love your brother and sister. How do you do that? It is uncomfortable. He does, you know, have us choose. I mean, like, we get to choose. Like, I think it's important to also recognize that. Like, yeah, we have a will. And so when we think about doing things God's ways, I would argue it begins with you and your will and your choice to submit it, surrender it, abide in him, all of those things. Because it even says, if you keep my commands. And it even gives examples of, if you don't keep my commands, you know, the child of the evil, you know, like it's, he contrasts that. You clearly get to choose from the posture of Jesus offering these things to us. It's not like you're all going to, everything's going to just, okay, now you're all in. No. So how do we do that? So I think one of the, when you go through, it mentions two things. One of them was, if someone is in need and you don't have a heart for them and care for them, wow, like, and then there's one more. Does anyone remember the second one?
Oh, I would say I have one that says, the command, is that what you're talking about? Mm-hmm. It says, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. I mean, we have a lot of believers that we don't agree with and maybe not even like. And that to me is just like, love covers and prays for them. And God, you know, when you get that in your heart, it's painful when other people talk about other believers, even if they're out of line. And God had to do work in me to get me to that point. But it matters to him.
Right.
It's so important in this realm to, you know, Romans 6:7 says, we live no longer in obedience to the written kind of regulation, but we live in obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. It is so important when we talk about laying down our lives and we talk about walking in the love of God to do it from here and not here.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get there.
Okay.
You're getting ahead of it. Mark, do you need in the top of the
Because when I was leading Titus 2 and I had all those women, those young women would call me night and day, and I'm not exaggerating, am I?
No.
We had them show up at our house at 2:00 in the morning because a couple had a knockdown drag out fight and they didn't know where else to go, and here they are at our house. And Josh and I are like, great, come on in, you know. But the thing is that one of the things I learned is there are times that they would call on my phone. And when they would call, the Holy Ghost would say, they're calling you, but I'm prompting them to call me. Mm-hmm. Do not answer that. You know, pray for them that they'll reach out to me. Mm-hmm. Pray for them. Mm-hmm. And all day long I would pray, God, make them. Make them turn to that. So it's real easy when we're talking about the love of God and the desire to love, to take it in the realm of reason, which James says that's earthly, sensual, and devilish.
Which is not what we're suggesting so far. We just haven't gotten to the part Karen's talking about.
I'm sorry, I was still...
It's okay.
But it's just so important.
I agree. We're going there.
Because you can become a stumbling block for people.
Absolutely agree. Mark.
I'm sorry.
Mark.
You should have slapped me down. Mark, you should have kept me under. Mark, you should have held on to
Pray, Mark. Pray. So Dana, I apologize, but Mark is always ahead of us in the lesson, and like he finishes it, we're like, wait. Karen is doing the same thing.
So I sit next to him.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
if you sit. Very deep river. I was going to say, extremely deep river.
So before we get to the spirit,
sorry,
I want to ask you all.
Please.
You're all alive, so none of you have actually died. Unless maybe any of you have come back, because I know you know some people have come back. So how does laying down your life over your brothers and sisters, like how would you do that if you're not actually going to be crucified, or not actually going to physically, like what does that mean to you, and like how could you do that, and what, like Karen mentioned ways that she's doing it and God has led her to do that. But before we get into the spirit, I was encouraging to, like, how do I live like that? And I would encourage you to think about how you're first laying your life down for the Lord and letting him, like submitting yourself to let him, like that moment in that song, you know, make me wealthy, make me successful, is that what it says? Make me amazing, because that's what I want to be. Will y'all sing like this? Okay. But that part, you know, whatever you want me to be, that's a pretty big shift, y'all. And are we really surrendered in that way, in all ways of our whole life? Like Karen mentioned in Romans, like it's not our life is not our own anymore. Like it's not ours, it's his. And I don't, like, I've forgotten it a few times in my life and was convicted of it yesterday. It was super wonderful and sweet. But it's not all aspects of my life. There was one area. What do you do? How do you live through that in the past? How do you return to just recognizing, I just really want to do whatever you want me to do? And how do we stay in that posture? And so I'm going to go through some Galatians.
Yeah.
While you're pondering that. Again, I'm going to read through some of these. We're going to go Galatians. I'm in Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to hop over to 3. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you've heard? A little bit farther down. After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And he's talking to them about circumcision. And he's encouraging them, like, no, you don't need to be circumcised. So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? Over at 14, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. I'm going to hop over to 5, chapter 5, 6b. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Funny thing, you were running in a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth, which is the Spirit? And I didn't actually run this morning, but I did go to like a 5K walk. 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want.
Just like that song.
make me whatever you want me to be, as opposed to what I want me to be. Like, we live in a culture that they tell kids and almost, like, glorify. You can be whoever, whatever you want to be. You can do anything you want to do, and you can be anything you want to. Like, no, you can't, is the first thing I want to say. Because not everybody can be the president, not everybody can be a scientist, and you just can't. Like, God gives everyone strengths, you know, giftings, anointings. But the second thing is, what does God want you to be? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, sure.
And we have a rot culture of you, right? And so, like, and of me, like, I get to choose. And so am I going to choose to stay in the spirit and let the Lord just make me whatever he wants me to be? Or, I get this part, they are in conflict with each other, the flesh and the spirit, so that you are not to do whatever you want. That was not that fun yesterday morning, y'all. It just wasn't, you know. But it was great. And you just go a little bit farther on in Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I mean, do not we get encouraged to stick with your passion, stick with your desire? Like, that is, you know, they tell you, find your passion, you know, do what you love. You'll never be disappointed. You'll never have to work a day in your life. And I don't think it's just talking about, you know, fleshly things. It's your life. It's all of who we are. All of what we have, all of what we want to do, all of what we think makes us happy.
Now, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do that?
I mean, just listening to the Spirit, staying close to the Spirit as the Spirit leads. And so I had no idea that the Holy Spirit was going to talk to me about that yesterday morning. I was like, because there was a time. The thing I'm talking about is a good thing. It's a holy thing. It's a beautiful thing. But there was time I went and did it, and I was super excited about doing it. And now I know, having lived with some experience, that was a very naive approach I had taken. And now I know it's difficult and hard and painful at times. So I'm not so sure I really want to do that anymore. Even though the first time when he initially called me to do it, I was so stoked. And I'm like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be painful at times. Probably not all of it. There's probably also some amazing things. But guess what? Like, he died. Like, that was painful. That was like real pain. Like, real, real pain. And I'm not going to die.
Last weekend I watched The Passion because I hadn't watched it in like 2 years, and I told Eli, I was like, I'm telling you, I'll watch it again. It's just, you know, it's just time. And it was so riveting just watching it again. And then I was reading up after I watched it. Eli had to leave. He's like, I just can't do the rest of it, which is, you know, great. Like, and after I got done watching it, I was like reading up on like crucifixion and medically, and I was like, they didn't even portray in The Passion like the extent. Yeah. After I was reading up on it, and it was just so gripping and so moving. And then, you know, when you talk about crucifixion, it's just like to have that visual grip you so much, and then realize that's not even the full extent of his pain and suffering. It's just like, who am I? You know, it's just, it was powerful. It's moving.
And we all have the different things he will lead us through by the Spirit. And so it'll look different for each one of us. And so it might be really difficult for you that I might not see. And when I do see, like, oh, it seems pretty awesome for you.
but it might be actually really difficult, but we may not know. Because the Lord is someone that's calling us and moving us through that. And he covers, he protects, he goes before us. And so, I'm painting a verse. I don't know about y'all, but I think that's probably a human state. We're like, I'd rather not step into that. And when I was so excited to receive the call back then, I was like, yay! And now I know how hard it's going to be. Oh my God, I would have did that. Now thank you. So I realized, like, oh, I'm no longer willing to let him do whatever he wants to do with me. And I don't know if you ever got to that point. But I encourage you to let him move by the Spirit and trust that he is for you. He loves you. He wants good things for you. He has good things for you. This life and protecting ourselves and being comfortable is so foreign to what he desires for us and what he has for us. If there are people that don't know him, that he wants them to know him through each one of us. There are people that they don't even know the Spirit, but they know of God, they know of Jesus. But they're not in that place. There's people that don't even know Jesus, that don't even know God, that like, I have never heard. I heard Mark singing it one time. He had met someone that didn't understand like a specific holiday. And the person did not know, I think it might have been Christmas, but you know, I don't know if you can remember before you met Jesus, or if you've met people that before they met Jesus and came to Christ. I don't know what he has for y'all. But I know it's pretty awesome. And it's good. And as you let the Spirit love on you, lead you, take you where he wants you to go. If you're breathing, he's not done.
Amen.
Okay. And so I saw something. It was a very secular research a few months back, but it was showing all sorts of great inventions, cures, businesses, endeavors, all kinds of amazing things of people that kind of started in their 50s and the 60s and 70s. And you think about it like, well, of course, like that's, if you're here, God's like, and so my encouragement to you as fellow Jesus house folks is be courageous. Let him lead you. Let the Lord be the one that talks to you, convicts you, loves you, takes you those places, wakes you up and prays as you pray for people, takes you to other parts of the world and loves on people. And so, like, us being laid down to him and then our lives being laid down to each other is beautiful, is holy, is exciting, is, it's like, it's a sacrifice sometimes. Not all the time, maybe, but it is on a regular basis. And that's what we're doing. It's a way to love others and have him move through us. I would not have created a plan for other people to know him through me. It's kind of flawed plan, Lord. I wouldn't have chosen that. There's a lot of other ways to do that. But that's what he's asked of us. And that is what I'm inviting all of you to do and to encourage others is remember your life is not your own. It live laid down, like let him move every day, throughout the day, because he's speaking and he's excited for what you're doing now and what we're all going to be doing going forward.
That's my encouragement for y'all tonight. I love y'all. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you. On those same lines, I really want to strongly encourage you that don't forget that the Holy Ghost, like the Bible tells you to be childlike for a reason, and the Holy Ghost is great help. So, like, I don't know about y'all, but I'll be praying sometimes, and the Lord will talk to me about something He wants me to do. And I'll think, oh, like, can we get someone else? Like, is there anyone else up there that we could send to do that thing? But I've learned over the years, part of the Holy Ghost's job is to help me. And so I'll lift that right back to the Lord and say, my spirit is saying yes, but my soul is saying, can we send someone else? So can you help me? Can you help me? And sure enough, desire will start flooding me. God will show me something that wells compassion in my heart, that does something in my heart to stir desire. Because Proverbs says God puts desire in your heart, and then He makes that desire happen. So when we cry out and say, okay, so I identify that I do not want to do this, but I also identify that I've already given you my yes. So I'm going to need some help. And then we wait. Because so many times we try to just go out and do stuff.
Yeah.
And there's not power, and it doesn't produce what God says. But if we wait for that compassion to move us, the power is present to change things. And I think Gina and I were talking about this week. So many times people just don't wait with the Lord long enough to walk out with Him, clothed with Him, walking in Him. And then they're discouraged because things don't work out. Because He is the only one that can change things. And that you want to work in cooperation with Him. You want to move in Him.
Yes.
You want to be totally His. And sometimes that dying happens when you send aside time to pray in the Spirit and let Him possess who you are. Let Him possess your tongue. You know, in James it says that no one can tame the tongue, but the Holy Ghost can. No man can, but the Holy Ghost can. If you give Him your tongue enough, He will start taming it to where when your tongue violates Him, you feel it to the core of who you are.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost can tame it, but you can't. But the real question is, time is the great commodity. Time is the great commodity. What you got, Mark?
You know, Jesus laid His life down when He came to see Him here. The scripture said that Philippians, He emptied Himself. Mm-hmm. But the word apostle literally means to be sent from standing in front of somebody. Jesus came from the Father and knew the Father's heart for the world. He's not just laying His life down, He has the heartbeat of His Father because He's been in His face. So, we see Him lay His life down, not at the cross, but in water baptism. That's where He died. And He died for everybody. But He's basically saying that I'm here for your will because I love your voice, Father. I love who you are. I love your face. I love who you are, and God is love. To me, when we're having to make a choice to do something, we're not seeing the love of God somewhere. If there has to be a choice, we're literally saying, God, I'm stepping back into my soul realm into who I was in Adam. You already died in baptism with Him. And there's a place of being captured by His love and His heartbeat to where the choice isn't painful because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through Holy Spirit. So our hearts are already flooded, but sometimes it's by faith, not by feeling. And everything in our feeling is going, but it's like, it doesn't matter. God's given us the gift of faith to believe Him, that the love of God, and the love of God is in the revelation of the cross for us. If it's a sacrifice to love and I love a person this way, we're not seeing something of the love of God in the cross. It's not trying to love. It's going after his heart, going, God. This is for me. I'm not saying this for everybody else, okay? But, and I've shared this before, but the word obey bothered me for a long time, because most of us, when we hear the word obey, go, because we hear command, Ten Commandments. Whether we think we hear it that way, we hear it that way. But the Hebrew word, the Greek word, and the English word, all of them literally mean to bend your ear toward. And every one of you would say you love the voice of God. And so the Greek word for to obey literally means to guard from being lost. It the one who's a doer of the word isn't paying attention to his doing. He just stays in the voice of God. I love your voice so much, Lord. And you're just following his voice. And I get the struggle, but there's a place of going back to Jesus, going, Lord, you haven't made me to live self-centered. You guys know what I'm going through. That's the thing that Jesus keeps coming to me back with. And there's this pursuit in my heart going, Lord, you haven't made me to live self-centered. And when I'm going through all this stuff, it's self-centered. Lord, I'm coming after you because that's telling you my heart isn't rooted and grounded in your love. Because if it's rooted and grounded in your love, I love your voice so much that I'm going to do this because I'm overwhelmed with the love of God. I'm captured by his love. The struggle for us, if we're having to choose, we're missing something of the revelation of the cross, of his first love in us. And when that capture of our hearts, it for me, the more I get enveloped with the love of God to where I'm going, okay, Lord, you haven't made me to live to me. Your goal is not to love me. You love me because you're love. Your goal is to reproduce your image through me. God made man in his image and his likeness. The kids who are born are just the result of the love of God. Okay. The reproduction is his image. It's not just to have kids, it's his image. So that our seed, because I see it in you guys, we hear kids. And I see it in David and Tracy. Is the image of Jesus through the love of God that these two couples are reproduced in their kids. For me, the whole issue is being captured. If I'm struggling with something at this realm, there's something I'm missing at this realm.
Does that make sense?
As you grow in God, even with people who are immersed in the voice of God or the love of God, make mistakes in their walking because, Gina, we talked about this week as well. Faith works by love, but faith doesn't work by human love. Faith works by the love of God.
Yes. Amen.
And the love of God is very different than human love.
Yes.
And a lot of times God will prompt us something. Like, I've been in rooms before where I will have an overwhelming sense that someone is crying out to God. And my soul will want to go lay hands on that person. But really, what's happening in me is a prompting to pray over that person in private. Because God is wanting to touch them himself.
Yes. Yes.
And there is a heart cry that if I will partner with God in private, God can do something in public without anyone ever knowing I was involved.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way sometimes that you work with God where I see this a lot. People will misinterpret, they'll get something prophetically, and they'll give that word, but that prophecy was really prayer. Mm-hmm. And they prayed out, they spoke out something that God meant for Pete to be in private, so God could do something so that person would always look to God. but an insecurity in the person that gave the word, who needs
or even immature. Or even immature.
I was like, that sounds like Lynn. I must have got that from Lynn. But who gave that word, oftentimes it's coming from a place of insecurity in the person. Which God, I've done that. And I've had the Lord say to me, you disobeyed me. I told you to pray that and not say that. Mm-hmm. But because I know your heart, I'm going to make that come to pass. But if you ever do it again, I would publicly reprimand you. Right? Because God wants us to work with him. Because it's not people being drawn to us. It's people being drawn to him.
Yes.
That's the whole point. Mm. It's personal relating to him. And I will tell you one thing. If God's prompting you in any way to pray for anything ever, it's all worked out. It's all planned out. And it'll come to pass if you'll just work with him. Because he's looking for someone to work with him.
So,
Chris, can I have a... What I would add to that is, and what I'm offering is, the choice that we're talking about, we have all been given a will. The love that is granted to us, that we get to choose God or not, or choose to surrender to the Holy Spirit speaking to us, it's... That is beautiful and amazing that God would even offer that to us. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about, like what you just mentioned to me, is you surrendering, you choosing to surrender your will to the Holy Spirit's move and align with him in that way. That's what I mean by choice. That's what I mean by, it's, we all have it. We all are given that opportunity. It's because he loves us so much that he wouldn't want to make or demand us to follow him in any way. He wants us to want to. Yes. He wants us. Yes. He wants us to want him. He wants us to want to surrender.
Right.
Even when you hear a word or he gets you out of bed or whatever it is, like that's how our hearts are captured. And I agree with you. We're missing some revelation here if our hearts aren't fully captured and we're not surrendering. Yet that to me, I still see that as a choice. I still see that as something that on a daily basis we get to partner with the Holy Spirit in the encouragement.
So I wanted to encourage everyone that, you know, something that happened to Crick and I today, it seems small, but it's just an illustration of God's love. So, back in January, Arthur's dog died. Very traumatic, very hard. And recently, Cricket has really been searching for a replacement, you know, to fill that spot. And it's been difficult. She went to PetSmart to see a dog, and the person that walked in the door before her adopted the dog. And we're like, oh, this is terrible. Well, that day,
I was crying when I left PetSmart and said, I understand God, you protected me, but when?
That day, she left, and there was a dog that we would not have afforded.
You were going for a nut at the
a down dog, right? Just a cute down dog. But there was a dog, and the owners were great, but they got two dogs and at the same time from a breeder, and it was a bad idea. They needed one dog, so they made it, who can come get it? Well, we went that night, picked up the dog. Well, it's like a little 4-pound toy poodle, Bichon
mix,
freeze
mix,
maze. So cutest dog. Okay, so today we went to the local farmer's market to socialize the dog. We're walking around, and oh, it's a cute dog, it's a cute dog. But this one lady was talking to me about her dog that was similar, and
I just felt like, oh, let her hold the dog. So I gave the dog to her, and she just started bawling. And she was like, you don't know what this meant to me, for you to let him hold this dog.
We both thought to ourselves quietly, yes, we do.
But, you know, it's amazing because, you know, I was not in, like, I was in a bad this morning. And so we weren't, like, you know, walking in to find, you know, that we knew of angel territory and all that. And yet God had orchestrated all of this to meet a need that we had no idea.
Yeah. It was
like,
thing.
And we got to be a part of it. Of what God would do.
Okay, and I've got, this is jumping out of me. As soon as she finished talking, as you were talking at the end, and Karen started talking, it's basically saying the same thing Karen said a lot. But the word that kept coming out to me that was equip, he equips us. Mm-hmm. And you understand, okay, he just talked. Y'all heard him talk. I met him in college. He was painfully shy. I mean, painfully shy. When I say painfully shy, he would come up and speak, and I had no idea what he was saying. I thought he was speaking in another language because he just, blah. But, and he wasn't saved yet, and I got to lead him to the Lord. We were friends. And he was horrified that God was going to send him to another country and have him stand on a corner and speak, because he didn't even like to speak to regular or anybody, like anybody. And, but I gave him a Bible, and he just read it. And the Lord said, you know, there are all times I want to tell him, the Lord said, no, let me do it. And I watched him read the Word of God, just devour it for a year. And he just gently removed these things, and he quit. And, you know, during that time, he wouldn't have said a word to you. But God equipped him and removed that as he yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I'm just thinking, I love this lesson so much, Mark. Thank you for it. Because we're in such transition. And it's like we know something new is coming, and we're excited to it. But at the same time, it's we know we're going to have to die to that comfort zone again. And I've been feeling equipping through the Holy Spirit, saying, I'm going to take you out of the comfort zone, honey. You know, we've been refiners fire for the last 2 years, and all of a sudden it's starting to come together. And I'm just thinking that word, equip. It was like, you know, he'll give us whatever we need, just like he gave this guy who couldn't even speak straight, just by he read the Word of God, and he just transformed me from the inside.
So good. So, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. With the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, you'll flow in the love of God because you tap into the Spirit of Christ and live from that place. Anytime it's violated, run back into that place.
Let's tell you one more thing.
Yes.
The thing that the Lord showed me yesterday was not that I was in a posture of rebellion. I was like deceived. You know, the Word says the heart can deceive. It's like if I look this direction, oh, Ryan's not there. Like I don't see Ryan, and so there was a part of my heart that wasn't even looking at something that was going on in my heart, and he revealed that to me. It wasn't like I won't follow you.
Yeah.
It was really kind and gracious the way he did it, and I didn't know that I was ignoring that Ryan was sitting there, and I was ignoring that thing that he's like, oh wait. So I just want to offer that to you. It was sweet. He's gentle.
He's
beautiful and
sweet. He is. It makes me think of a time in prayer one morning. I was praying, and at the time, God had had me lay down like everything, and I was thinking I'd lay down everything. That's what I was thinking. I'd lay down everything. And the Lord came to me, and he was like, oh, sweetheart, there are so many layers to sin, you have no idea. But we just pulled back, like, something in my soul, a way of thinking, and I was just like, oh, how did that get in there? You know, and I was like,
yes.
But I just, you know, you never get to a place where you stop becoming. You never get to a place where you're completely arrived. You never get to a place. And if that were so, they wouldn't be crying out, holy, holy, holy. Mm-hmm. Because every moment they're seeing something of God they've never seen before. And they're shocked and awe of the greatness of Him.